Blog Talk Radio.
All right, this is Rabble Rousing Rich Bertrand.
Yo, this is the Tornado, Tony Tenneca.
And we're coming at you with another edition of the Fight News Unlimited Combat Sports Show. Tonight we have Razor Rob McCullough, who's a real journeyman in the sport of MMA. He's been around quite a bit. And this weekend he's fighting in outfit called Camo. I forget what that stands for, but I just put up a blog on the website. It just turns out that one of our former guests, Scott Casper from Takedown Radio, also interviewed him recently. So there's an article on the website about that, and I put an editor's note on there about us interviewing him tonight. And I'm pretty sure he was in Strikeforce before, but we're going to talk to him around 8:30. And of course, we have some news going on in boxing. Tony, you're going to have to defend boxing. Again, there's a lot of bad boys running around. We got Ricky Hatton snorting the coke, and Floyd Mayweather being a douchebag, I guess you could say.
Well, first of all, Ricky Hatton's what?
Coming in and out there, Tony.
Can you hear me?
Hello.
Hello?
Man, never had this problem before.
Can you hear me? I can hear you loud and clear, Rick. Can you hear me?
Whoa, what the heck is going on?
I don't know. You tell me.
Sounds like somebody's breaking in on our call.
Somebody's breaking in?
Hang on. Technical difficulties. What's new to our show?
All right, now we going?
Hello?
Hello?
Tony?
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you loud and clear.
I don't know what the hell is going on.
Can you hear me?
You're breaking up like crazy. I've never had this happen in the middle like this before. Oh, shit.
I hear you loud and clear, dude.
Sounds like every time you talk, there's like a woman's voice behind it.
No babes here.
I'm going to have to try to reset here. Give us a second, folks. Okay, round two. We're going to try this again. Pick up Tony. See if you can hear him. Hopefully the past step sounds better already. Tony. All right, so you back? Hello? Tony. Are you there?
Hello?
Are you there? Can you hear me? Hello?
Hello?
I'm here. Hang on. Tools. Options. Audio. Hello? Can you hear me? Tony? Hello? All right, maybe it's his phone.
Hello, hello?
Tony, can you hear me? Okay, folks, I don't know if you can hear me. But we're just trying to reconnect to Tony Pinigallian here.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear. I could hear you the whole time.
You're just fucking with me?
Not that last time. All I heard was like the other times we were on the phone, you kept saying I was breaking up. I could hear you loud and clear. Now, last time, all I heard was static.
Oh, that's weird. Yeah, it's never happened like that. I guess it's raining like a bastard out, so it's fucking with everything up here in New Hampshire.
Oh, beautiful. Oh, it's pouring up there?
Yeah, it's pouring like crazy. It's starting to make me think it's going to start snowing here early.
Wow.
Screw global warming. It's freaking
yeah.
It feels starting to feel like winter.
Well, I'll tell you right now, man. I'm going to the Philly game tomorrow, so I'm having some good weather. But other than that, the girl I work with says, after working in the company I do now, you will learn to really hate summer. Because that's when everybody and their brother in the pest industry calls you and annoys you. Oh, my God, I saw an ant. Oh, my God, I saw a bee. Come out here and do something. I'm like, yeah, we'll get out there eventually.
Well, we got a lot of things, bad boys to talk about this week, as I was saying before we got rudely interrupted by
the one thing you said was, okay, we got two things. We got Ricky Hatton's house. What was that?
What?
Did you hear a voice?
No.
Okay.
I don't know.
Well, I was saying, we got a couple things here. We got Ricky Hatton snorting coke, and that was kind of surprising that I know he drinks a lot. I saw a picture of him in the latest Ring magazine playing like goalie for like the Manchester United, like, or even, maybe not the Manchester United, but an English soccer team, and he looked like he was pretty porky.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he didn't play anywhere near 147, I'll tell you that.
Nice.
But Floyd Mayweather Jr., I'm passing up Vince getting away with it, but it doesn't surprise me. Not at all.
No.
He's a guy, you know, I mean, he comes up, you know, from Floyd overall, I don't think is a bad person. I really don't. I think deep down inside him, he wants to play the villain, but there are sometimes the bad influences in his life, and you know the two names I'm going to bring up, Daddy and Uncle, are, you know, they're like these, they're wannabe thugs. You know, they're nasty human beings. You know, they trash talk. You know, they put people down. You know, which is like, you know, we got here to do this show every week, and I think we do a pretty good job. You know, neither of us are really trained professionals, but we have fun with it. We talk to people, and we try to be as interesting as we can be. But if now say there's any other boxing or MMA blog talk show out there, you know, I would rather us promote our show and say, hey, you know what? You know, we're a good show. Here's why you should listen to us. Instead of saying, that show sucks. And that's what those two guys do. They will try to make themselves and their fighter better by downplaying the opponent, you know? Oh, so-and-so's a bum. He's no good. He's garbage. Well, as I said 1,000 times on the show, and I'm going to say it for the 1,001st time, if you beat garbage, if you beat a guy and you don't want to be a piece of shit, how good can you really be? Because you just beat a guy. You don't prove nothing. But if you lose, oh, man, you must really suck because you lost to a piece of garbage. Now, I'm going to segue this into I want to encourage, Rich, I'm going to encourage you also, for two reasons, to go out and get the latest copy of Ring Magazine. I love Ring Magazine. I have a subscription to it. And I was a couple of ladies in it. I really enjoy it. Well, the one article in there, this month, I just got it yesterday, the 10 guys that would have kicked Floyd Mayweather Jr.'s butt.
Oh, yeah.
Some interesting choices in there. Some, actually, I'm surprised that they even had Floyd last in the distance. But out of the 10 guys in there, the two sugars, without a doubt. Ray Robinson, they're like, you know, and Floyd, actually, they say him and his, you know, his entourage, trying to claim their greatness over Sugar Ray Robinson, saying, yeah, Sugar Ray Robinson had 19 losses on his record, but like, yeah, he also had 170-some wins. But did not have a loss until, like, he didn't have really a loss. He was, like, 80-something and one or something like that.
We lost you again.
Can you hear me?
So it's staticky.
Can you hear me now?
Hold on. I'm going to hang up. I'll call you back.
connection really sucks tonight.
Hello?
Your connection really sucks tonight.
No. We lost you. I'm going to have to reset the whole system. Okay, we're going to take a 5-minute break. I'm going to reset this computer here, and we're going to start again. We're in the basement of a New Hampshire building here, trying to get used to our new show environment. So we apologize, but we're still going to have our first guest on at 8:30, Razor Rob McCullough, so stay tuned. And sorry for the delay, rain delay. Wow, that's crystal clear now.
You can hear me.
Yeah, I just reset the whole computer, so we shouldn't have any further technical difficulties.
Okay, well, let's go over what I was talking about.
Okay.
I want to go back to Ring Magazine here. Ring Magazine, I am encouraging everybody that's listening, and you included, Rich, to buy the latest copy. I just got mine yesterday. I love Ring Magazine. I hope to get a job writing for Ring Magazine, better than what I'm doing now, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. That's a good point.
What?
That's a good point, because I just finished a huge proposal for Sports Illustrated that I sent to Rich O'Brien over there, so waiting to hear back from him. But me and Patrick just put together a hell of a piece on the history of boxing and corruption and prison in general, with specific regard to Reggie and Reuben Carter. So Ring Magazine is another one I didn't even think about submitting to, but thanks for putting the idea in my head.
So, well, the good Ring latest Ring Magazine had a couple articles in there, very good. And the one I said was the 10 guys that they say would have kicked Floyd Mayweather's butt.
Huh.
Floyd Mayweather Jr. And a couple of the guys that I've already mentioned a couple times, the Sugars, obviously, and Ray Leonard, not Shane Mosley. So what happened, but younger Shane Mosley, yeah, you never know. But, okay, so we had the Sugars, Robinson and Leonard. And they said, you know, Robinson, like, Floyd Mayweather, trying to say he's greater than Sugar Ray Robinson, says the guy lost 19 times. And they said, yeah, Mosley was right here after 40. And he lost one out of his, like, first 100 and some fights. And that was against a guy who outweighed him by 13 pounds. Now they said Ray Robinson ducked nobody. Then they turned around and said, Sugar Ray Leonard. They said Sugar Ray Leonard was, you know, just as fast, but it was just a little bit tougher, a little bit meaner, you know, a little bit more gutsy. Then they said Tommy Hearns. And they said, you know, Tommy Hearns, and people always say, oh, he didn't have a great chin and all that. They're like, yeah, the guy was only really ever stopped 3 times. And look at some of them. And that was looked by Ray Leonard, Marvin Hagler. Then he had, like, stoppages by even Tyrone Barkley. Okay, fine. But they said, like, look what he did, like, when he hit guys on the chin. And they said, boy, would anyone really want to get in there with a guy that was 6'1" and reflexes like that and can punch like that? Maybe not. Then it had Oscar De La Hoya on there. And they said, oh, very interesting, because Mayweather already beat De La Hoya. They said, look at it this way. Mayweather beat De La Hoya, who was basically a part-time fighter at the time, in his 30s, pretty much well past his prime. He beat him by 1 point on two points on two cards, and lost on the third card. So what would happen if a young prime De La Hoya that was still confident, still a full-time fighter? They said, that might have been the fight to put you know, Mayweather on his ass.
How about Rocky Marciano versus Mike Tyson? Go.
Well, very interesting fight there, Rich. Very interesting fight there.
That should be a fantasy matchup.
Yeah, and a lot of people would disagree on this, because a lot of people come out and say, you know, a prime Tyson was big, was bigger, was faster, was stronger, was more explosive. But even a prime Tyson, when you were able not to, when you did not back up from him, he got a little, you know, flustered. Could Rocky back him up, giving away, 30 pounds? Well, it'd be hard. Rocky definitely wasn't as fast, but if Rocky got through those first few rounds and kept putting that pressure on Tyson, you might see the guy start to mentally crack. That's why I always say a prime Joe Frazier would have beat a prime Mike Tyson.
No, I got a feeling that Al Weill and Don King would have really liked each other.
Oh, boy, that would have been a battle over money right there.
Oh, thank God we don't have an Al Weill around. But I decided to throw that into the proposal with Reggie, you know, just talking about Don King's past transgressions. I hadn't realized until I read it, but Patrick reminded me that Don King murdered a guy over a $600 dispute. I didn't know that part of it. So that was part of it. And then I put in there that Al Weill took 50% of Rocky's earnings, you know. I thought that was interesting for the time. I don't think you see that much of that anymore. Even though Floyd Mayweather tries to always get 50% of the fight, at least. His manager's not getting 50% of his 50%.
That'll be more the battle than anything will be, you know, who would be the money.
Right. But anyway, we got a big fight card coming up with Mosley, the last guy to try to smack Mayweather around in the ring. And he's fighting Sergio Mora this weekend, and guess who's on that card as well?
You tell me.
Stop it, computer. I know we have an error. All right, enough. No more errors. Okay, stop it. All right, we got Kalisha Wild Wild West is fighting on that card.
Okay, all right.
6-2. But it's going to be a pretty interesting fight, main event. We'll see if Mosley's back in form. Main event's actually Carlos Manuel Baldomir back in action, too, for the WBC silver light middleweight title, as opposed to the gold. No, the gold. I don't know.
Who's he fighting?
He's fighting undefeated Saul Alvarez at light middleweight, 33-0 with 25 knockouts and one draw. Baldomir is 45-12 with 14 knockouts, 6 draws, and he's had 3 losses in a
fight. Baldomir,
6 fights.
Tremendous chin. He's definitely a lot. Well, he's never the fastest guy in the world. I mean, he beat Zab Judah just because Judah came in unfocused, didn't really care. He just let Baldomir keep the pressure on him, outwork him. Then Baldomir fought Arturo Gatti. I was there with my friend who was first fight that night, and we all thought, you know, hey, Gatti, good outboxing, Gatti's going to do this, you know. But Gatti got one of his moves that he wanted to stand in and trade with the guy that walks around weighing almost 190 pounds, you know, and cuts down to 147. And we're like, no, Gatti cannot stand in front of this guy. And Baldomir eventually broke him down and stopped him. Gatti was all but done by that time anyway. But overall, Baldomir is a slow but steady guy and one of the most amazing chins I think I've ever seen. Yeah, I think that's why they want to put him in there with Alvarez. Figuring, I mean, he's going to give Alvarez a tough fight, but Alvarez is a younger guy. He's more physical. He's more athletic. They just want to see if they can really tout Alvarez, and if he can knock Baldomir out, that's going to be a huge feather in his cap.
Yeah, we'll see.
But again, I don't know if he had to the baseball bat, it might break it over his head before it goes Baldomir down.
Another pretty interesting fight. Oh, it's 2 more on this card in addition to Kalisha's fight there. We got Daniel Ponce de Leon as featherweight fighting Antonio Escalante. Ponce de Leon has 2 losses, 39 wins, 32 knockouts. Escalante is 24-2 with 15 knockouts, 1 knockout loss. And then we got Vicious Victor and Vicious Vivian fighting over who is the most vicious. At light welterweight, 27-2, Victor Ortiz with 21 knockouts, 1 draw. Vivian Harris is 29-4 with 19 knockouts and 1 draw.
Well, I'm telling you, Vivian Harris did not look good in his last fight. Victor Ortiz, I mean, the guy has it all to be a potentially dynamic fighter. He's got charisma. You know, he's a young guy, you know, very, very charismatic, good fighter, but he turned a lot of people off in that fight last year when he got knocked down. He got up and said, I'm not going to continue. And that really turned a lot of fight fans off that, you know, are used to seeing the Warriors, you know, carry down on a shield. I mean, I'm not saying, you know, it was, you know, he knew he was pretty much beaten, but, I mean, sometimes, you know, he's like, I'll come back and fight another day. Kind of hard, you know, rebuild a fan base after you say something like that.
Right. Well, we're going to try to get Rob on here in a minute. I'm just trying to look at information. But we get a lot more boxing to talk about, of course. There's some interesting news, too, in the Google alert today we're going to go over.
Shane Mosley,
one of those ones, actually, that has been talking about MMA. But we'll talk about that later. What were you going to say?
Younger Klitschko of Vladimir demolished Samuel Peter last weekend.
Oh, yes. Yes, we sure have to talk about that.
I mean, it wasn't even competitive. I mean, he just beat him up a little bit and then knocked him out, you know, 10th round.
Right. Well, we're going to talk to Razor Rob McCullough. He's going to be at this camo. He's not fighting, I guess. He's going to be at this California Amateur Mixed Martial Arts Organization show. I think it's in California this weekend. But he's a free agent right now, so we can help get him some publicity. California Amateur Mixed Martial
Arts. Hello.
Razor Rob, how's it going?
Good, what's going on, brother?
Come on, this is Rabble Rousing Rich Bergeron, and Tony the Tornado Pentacal's on the line with us, too.
Yo, what's up?
What's up?
Well, we were just talking about camo, and you're going to be there in Irvine, California this weekend?
Yes, sir, this Saturday at the Irvine Marriott.
All right. And tell us a little bit about your mixed martial arts career, what you're going through right now, looking for a new league, I guess.
Yes. My management company, MMA Agents, is in talks with some pretty big organizations right now to see where we're going to be going by the beginning of next year.
All right.
So I just got to make sure I'm in shape and ready to do this, which I am. And, you know, the rest of that, I'll leave it up to my management team.
Cool. And what was your last fight?
I just fought, last Thursday, at Tehachapi Palace Casino in Lemoore, California, against Corey Hill.
Oh, cool. Is that the guy from the Ultimate Fighter show? Is that a different
guy? That is the guy from the Ultimate Fighter show. He's very 6'4", 155. Kind of a really tall, lanky guy for that weight class.
Right.
I won via unanimous decision, and it was an interesting fight.
Awesome. Yeah, we do a lot of promos for those guys at Tachi Palace. And everything that comes through the website, we post it up there for them. So I've been following those guys for a while.
Nice, yeah, they're a good organization. Can't complain. That's where I first started my career, too, with WEC was out there. So I got a good little fan base. They built a hotel as well, and it is, everyone kept telling me, it's a really nice hotel. And I'm like, yeah, take it easy. Come on, you're in the middle of Lemoore. How nice can it be? But it's actually really nice. So I was like, oh, wow. So now I'm not going to tell people, it's really nice.
Yeah, they did do a ton of events there, and they definitely market it very well. I've been published.
It literally is in the middle of nowhere, too. You're like driving around, you're like, wow, I'm in the middle of nowhere. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, here's a really nice casino and a hotel.
Well, it looks like you fought some pretty interesting guys here. Marcus Hicks, looking at this, the record on your website here.
Yes.
Tough guys. Is there anybody that really strikes you as your favorite fight or your most difficult fight over the years?
You know, if I had to break it down, I would say fighting Cowboy Donald Cerrone, that was a very fun fight. It was an interesting fight. And, I mean, when talk about leaving it all in the cage, that night I definitely left it out in the cage. Like, it was fun. Win or lose, you know what I mean? That was a fight that I'll definitely remember. Just because, you know, that guy and I were going for it. And the very first punch I threw, I hit him right on the button. And he dropped down to a knee, and then he looked at me, kind of smiled, and popped up. And I was like, I smiled at him, I'm like, let's do this. And there was really not a lot of lateral movement and stuff. We kind of just stood there and banged. And that was fun. At one point, he hit me with something, and I remember then the next, I was sitting looking at him. He was sitting on my chest, elbowing me in the face, and I was like, hey, this is not where I want to be. And I remember going, oh. Yeah, like, it kind of woke me up from it. I was like, what the, hey, why am I looking at the lights? And I remember, like, throwing him off my chest and going, oh, watch out for the arm bar, and then watch out for the triangle, and then standing up, and I was like, all right, let's do this. And I kind of wiped, there's a picture that on one of these websites, too, where I'm smiling at him, and I'm covered in blood. And I just went, if you fight for a living, that's one of those fights. It's like a gut check, and, you know, it's definitely, people sometimes go, oh, you're a pretty boy. Really? Well, have you seen that fight?
And was that your favorite fight, too, or just the most difficult?
I would say it was my favorite just because it was fun. You know what I mean? And he was a respectful guy. At the weigh-in, I was like, man, I was so dehydrated. He walked over when I was done doing all my medicals and stuff. He handed me some watermelon. He's like, here you go, bro. You know, this is good for rehydrating. I was like, oh, thanks, bro. He's like, hey, it's an honor. And I was like, that's a respectful cat. Like, you know, we can get all wrapped up in the drama, the WWF style, you know, or talk smack, but, you know, we got a job. You get in there and try to, you know, kill each other. And when it's over, there's no hard feelings. You know, go out, hang out, whatever. So I had to give him that respect for that. And after the fact, they were carrying him after the fight out in the back when we were doing that. They were stitching my face up, and his two corner guys were holding him up, and he couldn't walk. They kept kicking him in the leg. And I thought, you know what? And he just looked at me, kind of shook his head. He's like, oh, man. I kind of laugh. And I see the guy, and he's like, what's up, Razor? I'm like, what's up, buddy? You know, he's a respectful, he's a gladiator. So I got to give him props for that.
Oh, that reminds me of a wrestling match I had in high school against my arch-rival school. And I was like 15 pounds out of my weight class. They always bumped me up from like 155 to go 171. So I go against their best guy from the other school. He's a year ahead of me. And I ended up just barely missing the decision. It was like a one-point decision for him, but they didn't give me some back points, and everybody was bitching afterwards. You know, they should have given me those back points, whatever. But the best part was after the thing, the kid's own father came up to me, and he said, you gave my son one of the best matches he's had all year, you know. So, you know, don't hang your head. So that was one of the best compliments I ever got as a wrestler, even though I lost the match, but... Sometimes
right. When you get down to it, it's not about the, you know, sometimes it's not about the winning or the losing. It's about, you know, leaving it out there and just knowing, hey, you gave it everything you could, and, you know, it just wasn't your day that day.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't on my side.
Yeah. But it's all good, you know, especially when you have a worthy opponent and you're like, right on, you know, hey,
yep.
It's cool.
So what got you into fighting in the first place?
Wow. How long is this show? We'll be here for a while. You know, it's funny. There's a kid that he's not even a kid anymore. I tend to call everybody a kid nowadays. He started at our gym and he did front desk sales. And it seemed like every time I would tell him a story about how I got into fighting, it always started with, and that's how I got started. And after a while, it became a joke. And I didn't realize it, but he's like, dude, you know, you realize you say that about everything, and that's how it started. And I was like, it is. I'm like, you know, I grew up and I had six older sisters, and that's how I started fighting. And then I was like, man, I left home at 14, and that's why I started fighting. And he's like, dude, really? You said that about a first kid? So, I mean, I don't know. I think I liked the competition aspect of it. I liked training. That was really fun. I did that, my, you know, as a kid, for running with my dad, and he was in the military. He was a Vietnam vet. So kind of watching war movies and stuff and being into it and playing Pop Warner football, you know, basically a combat sport, kind of getting in there, and I was like, you know what, I enjoy the training part, it's fun, and hitting people is even better. I did a little karate when I was like 11, got a paper out to pay for it, and the best part of it was at the end of the class, we got a spar. So I was like, I kind of got a taste for it, a taste for blood, I guess you could say, and after that, I couldn't wait to get paid to do it, and then there wasn't really anything really paid to do it just yet. And then I saw UFC, and I was like, I got to do that. That was awesome. Along the way, I ended up fighting in K1. I fought in, you know, a lot of the big organizations throughout my career, and just kind of blessed to be able to get paid to do something I love to do and not go to jail for it at the end of the day.
Yeah, he's been, gets fights on here dating back to 2001, fighting for the Pit Fighting Championship.
Yeah, I fought an 8-man tournament in one of those. And actually, I was just watching The Ultimate Fighter last night. The last guy I fought in that tournament was Nam Pham, and he's on this season's Ultimate Fighter, which I was telling my wife that last night. I'm like, I fought that guy in the tournament.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. My buddy and I were watching that, and he saw the commercial just before it that they showed, and they're working with the Marines. And he's like, dude, obviously the Vietnamese kid is going to win. He's in the commercial.
Oh, oh wow. There's going to be so many disgruntled vets are going to call your show after this. Just to be like, hey, where you at? I want to send your package.
No, yeah, I recognized the name right away when I saw it. He fought a good fight. Nothing impressed me more, though, than the kid that just went out there and landed every single punch and ended it in, like, 13 seconds.
That kid looks like he's going to be a beast.
That's what I like to see more of, and I just actually wrote an article for the guys over at Discipline.com about the boxing in MMA, where, if you can have a really good boxing strategy, like kind of like Frankie Edgar, the way he bobs and weaves and throws punches, you know. But
that movement, that footwork and that movement just throw people off because and they're anticipating the whole fact that he's such a great grappler that they're not sure if he's going to shoot or if he's going to start throwing punches. And then he throws a flurry and he moves. He's just frustrating as hell. I mean, that kid's got a great game plan.
He could be one of those guys that could transition right to boxing. I mean, I could see it.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But that's one of the things that I wrote about is that it seems like nobody in MMA, once they cross over to that sport, wants to go to boxing. You know, unless they've already been there and they're going back. But we talk about the boxing versus MMA debate all the time, and that's probably why Tony's been piping down, because he's the boxing guy. We call him the boxing ring man.
Well, didn't KJ Noon do that? He started with MMA and then went to boxing and then came back?
Yeah, but I don't know. I don't know if I think he might have started in amateur boxing. So,
oh, do you?
I don't know how much success he had either. And I used to hear more about that back in like 2006 when I first started the website Unlimited Fight News, but not so much anymore. I don't know if he's still doing that or. Strikeforce was one of those leagues though that's always been adamant. Hey, you know, we're not going to worry about you doing other things if you want to do other things. It's the UFC that says no. Anderson Silva, you can't box for Ruggiero Jr. Not going to. But that might be his best fight right now, Anderson Silva.
Yeah, right? Jeez.
He's going to get his ass kicked the next round by Chael Sonnen. He's not going to wait till the fifth round this time.
Are they going to rematch each other?
Yeah, I just saw that on the fight night on Wednesday.
No way.
January.
That should be an interesting fight.
Mm-hmm.
Again.
Yep. But also, I was one of the questions I always ask, what do you love most about what you do, you know, the sport in general and all that?
What do I love most about what I do? God, you know what? I would be doing it no matter what, you know what I mean? But thankfully, I get paid to do it. So that's the one thing. I mean, getting paid for your passion, I mean, it doesn't feel like when you wake up in the morning and you go to work, it doesn't feel like you're going to work, you know? I wake up with a smile and go, wow, I can't believe they paid, you know, win or lose a fight, it's still in the back of my mind. I'm like, I can't believe they paid me to do this. And people get excited. You know, I walk through the airport and stuff, and people are like, hey, you raised a Rob. And I'm like, yeah. And they're like, I thought you were taller. And I'm like, hey, take it easy.
When I'm on the show, does anybody even think I'm taller? Probably not. Because all of us, one of my opponents, that was the most confused I ever was in the ring. I was like, hey, no, you're supposed to be taller than me.
right. And speaking of Marcus Hicks, when you brought him up, that was the one guy I had actually reach advantage over. And I was like, no way. I'm going to play the tall guy game? How's this work? Okay.
Yeah, he's like a little Kimbo.
He is. He's like a little Mr. T, man.
Not quite as big, but he's jacked.
He is a jacked individual.
Yeah. Anyway, but it looks like you fought a lot of fights in the WEC. Did you know Matt Brown at all?
No. I'm trying to think.
He graduated from Norwich University. It's the same military school that I went to and I got my degree from. You know, I went to two other ones too, but That's the one I spent the most time at. And I'm trying for the life of me to remember whether I wrestled with him or not, because I did wrestle for a few months. But I don't know if he was there at the same exact time or not. He might have been behind me. But I went right to boxing, because I started the boxing club up there instead of finishing the wrestling. But
nice.
It was also because I fell off a roof. That kind of interrupted my training as a wrestler.
Yeah, I think falling off the roof is not really conducive to training.
No. I was in the hospital for a week and broke a ton of bones, but I came back and I went to the Nationals in boxing, but just kind of interrupted the whole wrestling thing. You know, I bet if I did wrestle, I would have been more interested in MMA than I already am. But actually, there's a guy from the WEC that I guarantee you've seen, Jose Aldo, who I thought
was sure.
18-second knockout, I think, of Cub Swanson, where he just went across the ring and beat him in the face and then hit him six times in the face. With a punch, before the ref stopped it. And that fight, I seen that on Versus or whatever they showed on. I said, Jesus, I can never do this sport. Too late. There's a guy like that out there who could do that to me. Man, I wouldn't even know how to defend that, and that kid didn't either. He was just like blindsided right away. I've never seen somebody move so fast off the belt. Boom, right on. But those kind of fights is what makes that, you know, really interesting, the whole league situation. But I wish they would put more of you guys on the UFC shows. You know, I don't understand why they don't share the fighters and bring them up to the grand stage, too.
Right? I don't know. It's strange. They did with the 185 and the 170 for WEC, but they kind of were holding out with the lightweight guys.
Yeah. So, what's your ultimate goal in the sport?
What's my ultimate goal in the sport? Wow. You know, at this point, I'm back. I'm on fire. I'm having fun training again. I'm back, you know, with my management MMA agents. At this point, getting in the top 10 is an overseeing goal I'd like to have for the next upcoming year. Getting in the top 10, showing people, hey, I'm still here, and I'm getting ready to bang. Than that, you know, getting there and finishing fights. Get a finishing fight and maybe people go, wow, that's why that guy has multiple highlight reels online. He likes finishing people.
I just noticed on the record you have on the site, going to 2009, you've never been taken out of a fight early, whether it's by submission or knockout. You know, you've always gone the distance or won yourself by knockout. That's pretty.
I have some verbal submissions, which was strange because people are like, "You have submissions on your render." I'm like, "I do." Oh, and then I said verbal submission. I was like, "Oh, that's right." I never really remember fights. I just remember bits and pieces of them. It was kind of weird.
Yeah. Well, that's a good thing, you know, because then you have post traumatic stress disorder, right?
For the other guy.
And, Tony, you got any boxing questions for this guy?
Well, Rick, sometimes, that's the funny thing, Rob, is like, when we get all of the boxing guests sometimes, especially somebody like that I know or I've covered or I've, even that I know personally, because I sometimes I'll schedule the interviews, Rich can't get an award edgewise. Sometimes, Rich won't let me get an award edgewise. Well, the one thing when you guys were talking earlier about wrestling, making weights and all that, you'll love this. The year before I almost fought Rich in the national finals, I became the only guy in college boxing history. I don't think anybody's done it before, and I know nobody's done it since. 5 weight classes in a 3-month span.
You did 5 weight classes in 3 months?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, not bad, huh? And I'm not talking about like 112, 115, 118, and all that. No, I started to smash it off, and I was hampered a little bit that year because I had just come from like a major knee surgery, so I wasn't able to run and get my weight down before we started competing. So I was heavier than I wanted to be, and I started off at 190. Okay, guy's a little bigger than I wanted. No problem. I fought the one guy. Come back a week later, the coach said, can you do me a favor? I said, what's his favor? Would you mind fighting a 210-pound heavyweight? I'm like, yeah, but I'm down to like 182 now. Yeah, but I need you to fight him. Okay. So I'm stepping and putting rocks in the pocket, you know, drinking gallons of water, making the weight. Okay, fine, so I fight a heavyweight. In fact, I still weighed in at like 180-something. They're like, yeah, who cares, fight him anyway. Okay, fine. So I fought the heavyweight. Then the next week I'm back to 190. Then I fought at 180 where I thought I was going to be the whole semester anyway. I'm back and I'm in shape. I'm feeling good. Come up to the regionals. Can you do me a favor? Yeah, what's up? I know the regionals start in 3 days, but we haven't finalized our roster yet for the regional tournament. You think you can make 165? I'm like, I weighed in at 180 today. Yeah, I can do it. 3 days, no problem. Got down to 165, fought in the regionals. Then for the nationals, I ended up at 172. Five-way classes starting January 27th and finishing up on April 12th.
That is pretty crazy, to be honest.
Yeah. And at one point that year, there was one show that I missed. And we got there, and I was going to be at 180 again, I think. 180 or 190. I was bouncing around so much, I don't remember. We get to the show, and I weighed in at 178. And they said, your opponent's got the flu. I said, okay. I said, who else you got? And there was another kid on the team. One of the other schools had a guy that was 180 pounds. And he and I, we're built similar, you know, short, stocky guy. I had scouted him. I'm like, you know, if I fight this guy, it's going to be a mismatch. But when I was a freshman and had no fights under my belt, they were putting me in with seniors. So I deserve a mismatch once or twice. They're like, no, 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 we're not going to put you in there with him. You'll kill him. I'm like, yeah, I know. What's the problem? They're like, the only guy we can offer you is Aaron. I said, Aaron? Like, you know, a big dopey heavyweight? I said, the guy that weighed 265 today? Yeah, people dance circles around him, he'll be exhausted. I said, what if he falls on me? and the coach looked at me and I looked at him. I'm like, you want me to do it, coach? I mean, I'll beat him. He's like, no. We'll do a lot of things. This one ain't one of them. So, I don't know if Rich told you. I mean, I'm a Philadelphia guy. I mean, I'm lucky that, you know, I get to be in a hotbed of boxing. I mean, we have the Blue Horizons closed now, so I don't get to go to as many fights, so they pay their taxes and get reopened. But, I mean, I get to go there. I get to hang out at a lot of good fight clubs. I mean, I trained in a good, you know, gym in the city. We put guys in world title fights. And years ago, we had a special visitor to our gym. I didn't get to meet him, but Mike Tyson trained at my gym for 2 days, left some equipment there. And my dad always loves, because my dad hung all the heavy bags in that gym. Because, you know, my dad, you know, he's doing like, you know, he was really good at, you know, getting things hung up and being solid and secure, because the way they had the bags hung was shitty. He got them all hung up, and Mike Tyson had his 200-pound heavy bag hanging on the very joist that my father put in. And my dad, your joist hung Mike Tyson's heavy bag. My dad's like, oh, man, he's like, Tyson used my joist. I'm like, I got to use his jump rope, man. But, Rob, are you a boxing fan at all? I mean, do you follow that, or do you stay strictly with the MMA side?
I was somewhat of a boxing fan back in the day, but nowadays I'm so busy, and it seems that, like, there's apparently a fight every night of the week in MMA. So nowadays, you know, I'm a dad. I'm a new dad, so at this point I don't watch too much of anything. I try not to get on the TV too much and watch fighting. My wife will want to kill me. I start watching boxing, she's like, really? Come on.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of hate it myself, because I used to be a huge boxing fan, and I'll watch a Pacquiao fight at the drop of a dime or a Mayweather fight, but I'm turning into one of those people that you really have to impress me with a good matchup before I'll turn it on or try to fight.
Yeah, right.
And I don't know whether it's a reflection on the sport or just that I just like watching MMA more. You know, sort of because I have to, but also sort of because it's new. It seems to be more exciting to a lot of the people on the internet. I mean, it seems like there's 5 new websites every day on MMA.
right.
And I also...
Hey guys, I hate to cut you short, but I got to go into class right now. It's, I'm going to sit right now, so...
You got to get some jiu-jitsu training?
Yeah, I got to get in there.
All right, well... Kick some ass next time out, and keep us updated.
Oh,
and check out.
Thank you very much for having me on the show, guys.
Okay. All right,
sounds great.
for sure.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thanks a lot, Rob.
Sure.
All
right. Bye, guys.
Bye. So there you go. There's Razor Rob.
Yeah, sorry I didn't ask a whole lot of questions. I was actually getting my internet working, so I was looking at some big fight news coming up. A few interesting things. I was reading about the Ricky Hatton deal. Pretty interesting. And then a few other things that, you know, just caught my eye. First of all, young kid that I know that's being trained by one of my old trainers had his first debut last night. Didn't work out too well. Well, I got stopped in the second round. So, you know, maybe I'll have to give him some, you know, pep talk, get him set up straight. We got Thomas Adamack is going to be fighting Vinny Matalone in December. That'll be interesting, you know.
Guess what else is happening in December? I'm going to be excited about this one. We got the Mark Wahlberg movie about Mickey Ward. It's going to be coming out in December, starring also Christian Bale, the guy who played the Batman.
Yeah, but you know who's not going to be in it?
Who?
You maybe know what he's playing on Arturo Gatti.
Oh, yeah? Arturo Gatti's not in it at all?
No.
Not even a character of him?
No. Oh, I came up the real Arturo Gatti wouldn't be in it.
What?
But a friend of mine actually emailed me like 2 weeks ago. I was like, yo, I heard the movie's coming out with that Mickey Ward with, you know, Marky Mark playing the star role. And he's like, who's going to play Arturo Gatti? And I'm like, oh, let me see if I can find an answer for him. So I went on IMDb, I went on Wikipedia, I went on a bunch of different websites. I was looking at the movie, and there was, like, nothing about Arturo Gatti. And so I went on to a couple of, like, the question-answer forms, and the one said they maybe didn't want to put him in there because who else could play Gatti? They were going to have Gatti play himself. Or they were thinking that maybe it would be in bad taste to put him, have somebody play him because, you know, with his death, you know, just being with him the last year. But I'm like, how do you do a movie about Mickey Ward overcoming all this stuff and then leave out the biggest, you know, highlight of his career? You're focusing on having a character play Shane Neary, who was an undefeated fighter that Ward knocked out before, like a year or two before he fought Gatti. But I'm like, still, how do you do this huge movie about Mickey Ward and eliminate his most famous opponent?
Wow. That's rough, but it's like an artistic movie, I think, more about how he came out from poverty, basically, and, you know, he had one of them child support situations where, you know, he wanted to take care of his kids, and he had to struggle with a lot of crime, you know, they were involved in a lot of crime, I guess, when they were kids and growing up, him and his brother that trained him. And, of course, you know, then you get to the professional levels and they try to, the promoters try to get their own people in there, you know. So all that stuff's in there. It's more like an artistic type of setup, too, because the director, I guess, is the guy who, Dana O. Russell is the, I don't know if it's a director, producer, whatever. And it says he's built a career out of making quirky movies that don't fit comfortably into any one genre. And he's done the I Heart Huckabees, Three Kings, Flirting with Disaster, and Tony's favorite, Spanking the Monkey. I have never seen that one. I don't even know what that's about, but it sounds funny. Anyway, that movie's coming out in December. Just watch the trailer. I'll forward you that if you haven't seen it. It's pretty interesting. I'm surprised they come out this early with a trailer being not coming until December. But it's good to see that. Also, there's a kind of interesting story overseas in Belgium. There's a bombing suspect in Belgium who is a boxer. So we have yet another bad boy boxing overseas. A suspect linked to boxing after a coach at the boxing club, cocktail, whatever, recognized the pictures broadcast by the Danish police. I think he tried to rob a bank with a bomb. Nope. He was arrested a week ago after exploding a device at a hotel in Copenhagen. was thought the device was intended for another location. They didn't even get the right place. He dropped a bomb. He dropped the wrong kind of bombs. It's funny watching the Ultimate Fighter last night. You didn't get too much of the coaches involved because all the guys were fighting to get into the house, but they couldn't get over the accent of George St. Pierre, who's French Canadian, of course. And he said something about somebody, and he goes, "He is a bad boy." The bad boy of boxing. Also the main event last night of the Ultimate Fighter, not the Ultimate Fighter, but the UFC Fight Night, between Nate Marquardt and Rusamar Palhares was not what anybody expected. It's just kind of a fluke the way it ended, because the guy is known for his leg locks, this the shorter, stockier guy, Palhares, and he tried to lock up something on Marquardt's leg, and Marquardt pulled it out, and Palhares is like pointing at his legs like they were grease. And, you know, so he thought he put Vaseline on him or something, and he's trying to point to the ref, and he got clocked by a right hand. That just kind of put him in la-la land, and he had 6 or 7 more shots to the face, and it was over. And it was a good fight up until that point. You know, it was getting interesting. And they actually had a bunch of evenly matched fights throughout the night, so it was a good show. But unfortunately, that main event just really fell short because of all that crap. But they did find out at the end, they checked him, there was no Vaseline. But he did specifically, he said, Nate Marquardt, worked out and warmed up so that his legs would be purposely sweaty for that reason. So, interesting little strategy for mixed martial arts that I had not heard of before now. But, like you had mentioned before, we got Rob on the phone. There was some fights this last weekend we didn't talk about yet in boxing as well. We got Sam Peter gets smoked, no surprise, by the Klitschko.
I was not surprised at all.
Mr. Klitschko. Yeah, I don't know who's going to go up against him. Maybe they'll throw Kimbo up against him. That'd be his first fight. Let's throw him right in there. But we already went over the Saturday fight at the Staples Center there. We didn't really talk about Shane Mosley versus Sergio Mora, though.
No,
yeah.
We didn't. You know, this is a fight that I think might be a good fight for Shane. Sergio Mora, he's like a slick guy, you know, not much of a puncher. If you go back through Shane's career, okay, look at the fight that Shane looked fantastic in, look at the fight that he didn't look so fantastic in. Vernon Forrest, Winky Wright, and Mayweather. All were guys that were just a little bit better boxers. Vernon Forrest was taller. He was a very good boxer. He had good power in his right hand. Winky Wright was a very good defensive fighter, very physical. And then Floyd Mayweather, of course, Floyd Mayweather. In those fights, you could tell, watch Shane in those fights. He did a lot more moving than punching. You know, a lot of, like I said, a lot of hurt and jerk and rolling his hands and back and forth and not looking comfortable out there. Every one of those fights. Against a guy like Sergio Mora, I don't think we're going to see that. I think we're going to see, obviously, Mora is faster than Margarita was, who's considered a standing punching bag. But I think it's going to be a fight where Shane can let his hands go a little bit more. And I see Shane winning this fight by decision.
Yeah, I'm looking at Sergio's record right now. And Vernon's the only guy who even had 40 wins that he ever fought. The only guy who had over 30 wins thought
everybody knows that Peter Manfredo beat Sergio Moore in the second fight. I've never been a big Moore fan. And I see Shane winning the fight. I see, you know, basically Moore beat Forrest in the first fight because Forrest, you know, came in a little unfocused and a little unprepared. They had the rematch, Forrest wiped the floor with him. We got some other things that you know to talk about. Aside from that, we had some, you know, fights on HBO last week. I missed the main event. The first fight was fantastic. You watch a fight and you just know it's going to be good.
Yeah.
That's what you get sometimes. Like, you just kind of think, I'm going to watch this fight, and it's just going to be good. And it was a fight between Anthony Peterson, one of the Fighting Peterson brothers, and the boy he's fighting, I don't have it in front of me, his name, but my dad's name is, I like this kid. And, you know, Peterson is a, you know, it's battled between, you know, two highly ranked guys. It was a good test for both of them. Peterson's a good boxer with a good jab. And the fact that he was standing toe-to-toe with a guy who was a better puncher and wanted to fight in close, worst move Peterson could do, because the boy's going to land in uppercuts from, you know, from, like, the second round. He was landing uppercuts on Peterson's shin, like, bam, bam. Then he's landing overhand rights and left hooks. I'm like, man, Peterson's hurt here. And Peterson finally got knocked down, and then you could tell he was just, you know, he was out of it. And he ended up getting 3 points taken from low blows before they finally disqualified him.
Yikes.
Yeah, he was a boy. He was some of these shots were low. I mean, right on the cuff. And he's making me wince.
Does he train with Andrew Galata?
It was basically a Galata-esque performance.
Well, we just talked about a guy with Razor Rob, Donald Cowboy Cerrone. He's in the MMA news. I'm just looking at this now. It's something in the Canadian press. He said he wants to be his upcoming opponent to be the first death in MMA.
Oh, Jesus, God.
I mean, we talked about this. It's not the first death in MMA. There has been other ones, but... that's just very insensitive and bad news for a sport that's already got a black eye with a lot of states like New York not even proving it here in the United States, and Canada is having fits over it. Different parts of Canada accept it. But he says he's apologized already. He says, I don't want to come in and sit back and let him dictate it. No, this is what he said before he apologized. I don't want to come in and sit back and let him dictate it. I hope my emotions drive me, so I hope my emotions take over and I just kill this dude. I hope this is the first death in MMA.
That's brilliant. Not quite.
And guess where he apologized? Twitter. I don't really wish death on anyone. Just got caught up in talking. My apologies. Took it too
far. Sometimes you say something and, you know, it's like you really don't. It comes out the wrong way, and then you really feel like an ass. But the fact of the matter is, you can apologize all you want, but you can't unsay it.
And the WEC representative is going to talk to him.
And I'll tell you, here's one that I said, and I'm going back about 9 years ago. I was down in the gym training one night, and I had severely sprained my ankle Labor Day weekend. And I was jogging, I sprained my ankle really bad. And the doctors told me I should have stayed on crutches for 2 to 3 weeks and no working out whatsoever on my legs for at least 5 to 6 weeks. That was the doctor's recommendation. Well, you know me, and within 7 days of the injury, I was off the crutches. And, well, shit, if I was off the crutches on the seventh day, I'm in the gym on the eighth day. And it was just like, first of all, light stuff, riding a stationary bike, walking, you know, just trying maybe a little bit of lateral movement. And I had gotten a brace for my ankle, keep it in place because the swelling was still really bad. It was a high ankle sprain. And I ended up, the first week or two, I trained at my home gym. Then I wanted to go back to South Philly. I was still boxing at the time. I wanted to go back and start training down there again. So within 4 weeks of the injury, I'm back, you know, at the gym. and one of the guys down there had been knocked out in a fight about a week prior, and they wanted to have him do some sparring, you know, to stay sharp. But you really shouldn't be sparring after getting knocked out. He definitely got his brain scrambled in that fight. So they asked him if I would go in there with him and just, quote-unquote, work with him, which means I don't take liberties on you, I don't press the action, you don't press the action on me. We work together. Well, the guy that I'm in there with didn't speak very good English, and his trainer got into his ear that I was coming in there to make a name for myself at his account, which was not true. But, okay, he went in there, and now I'm trying to use lateral movement on an ankle I can barely move on, and I can't pivot with my left hooks because this immobilizer, I couldn't twist. I couldn't dig that punch. So my best punch is now rendered useless. Now, not only the fact that I have no legs, I can't move, I've lost all my punching power, this guy's hitting me with low blows, rabbit punching me. It got to the point where I tried to use the Mike Tyson trick and snap his arm in half.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the next day, I mean, I was furious. I mean, I was so mad that they had to separate us, you know, after the sparring session was over. And I'll never forget saying that. I said, I'm going to get him back in the ring again. And when I do, it will be a repeat of, I can't even remember it. When Benny Kim Perron was killed by Emily Griffith. I said, it's going to be Griffith and Perron all over again. I will beat him until his death. And I remember a friend of mine looked at me and goes, you should never, ever say anything like that. Because if it came true, you would never be able to forgive yourself. And he goes, and it would be in the ring. It wouldn't be like it was illegal.
Yeah.
You'd still never be able to forgive yourself.
Well, going back to what we also were talking about with Razor Rob, I just looked up something. Just happened to be in the Google alerts for mixed martial arts today on KJ Nunes, the fighter that we talked about who has gone back from MMA to boxing. He has actually an 11-2 boxing record according to BoxRec, and I was right. He did start out with boxing, but he was also doing Muay Thai at the same time, which has got a boxing base as well, but those knees and elbows and I think takedowns in some leagues too, but I think it's mostly on the feet. But see, he was doing karate at the age of 5. His father had him in karate classes. And then he says he eventually moved into both Muay Thai and boxing. So he was doing those growing up, and then he got into MMA. And he's in Strikeforce, and I don't know when his last boxing match was. But his last Strikeforce fight, he beat a guy named Connor Hume in a split decision. It was a good fight, from what I remember. So I'm trying to look up his boxing record. Here we go. Carl Nunes. The most significant fight he's had, according to what I see here, is a guy against a guy who is 13-1. Named James Countryman from Cincinnati, Ohio, I guess this fight was. He was losing on the scorecards. Lost by unanimous decision, 6 rounds, back in 2009. His last fight was against Julio Perez, who was 6-14. And that was in Texas. He won by unanimous 6-round decision. So he hasn't even gotten to the 10 or 8-round fights yet. But he has tried out boxing and obviously competed at a professional level. But his only major competition beat him by decision there. And he had a loss against a guy who was 5-6-2 back in 2006. But that's not really much of a surprise. He's only by a few points. And not much else to talk about there. But there is one last. What? Go ahead.
What are you doing tomorrow? Are you going to Baltimore?
Baltimore? What's in Baltimore?
Well, Baltimore, you should go to the fight. They're having a fight card down in Baltimore with Marvelous Tarvis Sims. He's fighting on the card. Is Tarvis the one we talked to Travis?
I think we talked to Tarvis.
Well, he's the one fighting tomorrow night. It says he's soon
be released from his contract by Star Boxing.
Mm.
Yeah. And then signing autographs and taking photos will be your boy and mine, the Tasmanian Devil.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I think I think Yano sent me out something about that, and there's a big, huge picture of the Paz on our blog somewhere at the top of that story. I had it up there on the top of the blog for like 3 days when I was out of commission waiting for the Internet.
Yeah.
So it was pretty big. I didn't realize how big it was, so I checked the blog. I'm like, whoa, that was a big picture. It was good. Back when he was in his prime, and he's running across the ring. And Yano sent it to me with a press release about that. So,
back when we were talking about it last week, back in '96, when we were talking to our guest last week, and I was saying, like, when I had that knee surgery, and my dad was, you know, trying to raise my spirits because the recovery was taking longer than we expected, and they took me to that Vinny Paz Dana Rosenblatt fight. And it was the first round about to start, and Vinny got into a runner stance. You know, he bent down, put his back foot behind him, put his hands on his knees, came sprinting out of the corner. I said, shit, that was about the coolest thing I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
I said, that's the first fight this year. I'm doing that. And, so I'm down at the Naval Academy and fighting this kid, Jared something or other. I don't remember his name. Jared Frick, maybe. I don't remember. He only fought like a year at the Naval Academy, and I don't remember him ever fighting off post. I mean, he had that one fight with me. I beat him, and then I don't remember ever really seeing him again.
He retired.
First fight to start, I'm fired up about, you know, coming back, and it's first fight since knee surgery, and that bell was about to ring, and I dropped in that runner's stance. Dr. Cox gave me a look like, I cannot believe you're doing this. I came flying out of that corner. It was like 4 months of just pent up everything. Came flying out of me after that. Great feeling. I tore into the kid. And like, then eventually I came to find out, you know, a few weeks later that I still was not 100%. I mean, that night I felt perfect. And I think it was just a lot of adrenaline or a lot of excitement really carried me above and beyond what my skill set was at the time. Because the fact that it was like, even though I was still training, I still did not have the strength in my back leg pushing off of my right hand and even moving to my right. And guys were able to pick up on that. So they would just move to their left and I couldn't catch them. And it took me about another 4 to 5 months to get my legs fully under me and be what I knew that I could be.
Well, you know, I'm just looking at the Rocky Marciano calendar in front of me, and next week is going to be a very big anniversary.
The anniversary of winning the title.
Yeah. First day of autumn. It's also the first day of autumn this year.
Yeah, what is it, about 58 years?
Tonight, back in 1977, Rocky was inducted into the National Italian American Sports Hall of Fame.
Yes, in Chicago.
Tomorrow night in 1954 in the Bronx, he beat Ezzie Charles.
And that was a fight where he had his nose. That's the fight where he had his nose split in half, and they were going to stop the fight.
Yeah.
3 days
ago in 1948, he beat Humphrey Jackson by first round KO.
That was your boy too. But next Tuesday, the 21st. It is going to be the 55th anniversary of Rocky's last fight up in the Bronx.
Archie.
Knockout Arch Moore. Only the second time he ever got knocked out in his career.
He went, 9 for 9 KOs in the month of September in his career, according to this calendar.
It's not too bad.
Pretty impressive. And he had 3 first-round knockouts out of those ones.
And how many of those were title fights, too? We had Ezzie Charles, Archie Moore, Jersey Joe Walcott, and Roland Lestarza. You figure,
yeah.
If Rocky had how many title fights, you know, the win over Walcott, the rematch over Walcott, the fight over Lestarza, 2 fights with Charles, the fight with Don Cockle, and he fought with Archie Morris. He figured in his career he had 7 heavyweight title fights,
and four of them were in the month of September. My Earth mod.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
So we'll have to do a Rocky Marciano show next week. Let's see if we can get a Rocky guest.
Absolutely, it's the anniversary. Let me get crack on that. Let me think of some things. You know, maybe we'll post some things on our blog, and maybe we'll just do next week the Total Rocky Marciano tribute show.
Yeah, why not?
I'll tell my favorite stories again, which I know you love so much. I'll even break out a few other ones, and maybe how about this, Rich? Maybe I will read the poem I wrote about Rocky Marciano.
Cool.
I'll restart on
that instead of the music next week.
Well, my poem?
Yeah, why not? You have to do it to music, though. We'll have to pick some background music.
Whatever you want to do. I mean, like I said, if you look at our calendar, there's a picture with Rocky and Sinatra on there. Maybe we can throw some My Way in there.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of guys in the opposite shape of Rocky, there's a whole bunch of articles today, links in the MMA alerts today about this new movie with Kevin James doing mixed martial arts.
Oh, wow.
Obviously, it's going to be a comedy.
Nothing serious?
He's going to play a physics teacher who is forced to moonlight as a MMA fighter when his school's budget faces cutbacks. Eventually, he becomes good enough to fight in the UFC.
that sounds hilarious.
Yeah. He's a big MMA fan. I know he's gone to a bunch of the UFC, so that's probably the thing.
He was an amateur wrestler. Rich, I don't know how much of a big fan of professional wrestling you are, but you know all
of one than I am. Back when Macho Man and Hulk Hogan were big, that's when I was in it.
You ever seen my Macho Man costume from a few years ago?
Yes, I did.
Have you ever seen my Mick Foley costume from a few years ago?
I think you sent them all to me at one point.
Well, you know who Mick Foley is, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I was a big Mick Foley fan about like 10 years ago when he was doing his Mankind and all that. And I thought he was hysterical. He seemed like a pretty cool guy. I met him.
He's got a best-selling book out there, too, you know.
I have them. I have like two or three of his books.
Oh.
But if you go back and you look at his first book that came out, it shows pictures when he was in high school as a wrestler. And like, you're not talking about a professional, I'm talking about as an amateur high school wrestler. And on his wrestling team with him, one of his classmates, Kevin James.
Oh, wow.
They wrestled together in high school.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So he does have a background in it.
I'm actually working on a slideshow presentation. I'm doing it for YouTube. And put some music to it. I'm going to do the, you ever hear the Fat Boy song, Are You Ready for Freddy?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to do that. I'm going to do a slideshow of some of my great Halloween costumes. By the way, I hope nobody's listening, and I don't want to close the door so nobody else hears this outside, because this is not definite yet, Rich. But you know, I like to keep my costume secret.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you guys, I'm swearing you to secrecy, and I'm swearing all of our listeners to secrecy.
Uh-oh.
I have an idea. I mean, this isn't definite yet. With me, here's what happens. I always get, like, an idea. And it's like, that would be pretty funny. That would be pretty cool. Well, I bet you I could do this. And, like, the other year, it was like, you know, Michael Vick would be easy. Oh, man, Michael Vick. That's so funny. How would I do it? Oh, I'll get a prison jumpsuit. Let me get a Vick jersey. Let me get a stuffed dog. Okay, let me do that. Then the other year, I was like, boy, I was watching an old wrestling match on YouTube, and there was the Macho Man on there. I'm like, well, Macho Man, that'd be a funny costume to do. I'm like, how could I do that? I'm like, all right, let me start working on it. I have an idea for this year. From the world of professional basketball, Dennis Rodman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that could be done.
I think I could do it. You know, get some fake nose rings and shit. Get one of them PS funky hats that I'm going to wear anyway. I already got enough tattoos, but, you know, get a few more fake ones. And get like a multicolored wig, a funny ass looking hat, some big ass earrings.
Put on a fucking wedding dress.
I'm going to do that for now. I could. I don't think I can do that for now. Remember that stunt?
Yeah, he was great.
I remember all the shit he did. I said, I don't know if I can go that far. I might though, you never know.
There's multiple ways you could go with it.
Yeah, that was the first idea that popped in my head. Because my philosophy
is... Paul Gasol. Throw a wig on.
Yeah. Well,
floppy freaking shaggy mug wig.
Well, I'll tell you, see, my thing is, I actually developed this philosophy about maybe when I was in college. Like, I had a couple of years, you know, we were just like, I was a huge Halloween nut as a kid, and I was like, oh my God, who am I going to be this year? I want to be Jason. I got to get a hockey mask. I want to be Freddy. I got to get a mask. And I was like, okay. And then I was one of the hottest who I was because I thought that was the thing for Halloween. You always had to wear a mask, and you couldn't figure out who you were if you took the mask off. And I was like, okay, that was kind of cool. Then I got away from it for a while. And then when I was in college, I really started getting back into it. And I had a couple of experiences. And one time I was like, I'm going to be so-and-so. I'm going to be a vampire. I was like, yeah, it was okay. I'm going to be a zombie. Yeah, it was okay. But I'm like, no, to be real fun is you actually have to be a person that people can identify to. So when I was Mankind, people were like, oh, man, you're Mankind. Yeah. When I was, Macho Man, it was like, oh, man, you're the Macho Man. Or when I was Don King, and you knew who I was. One year I was like a generic pimp. It's like, yeah, that's great. I mean, I had the whole costume made myself. I had like the vest on, the pimp daddy on the back with a pair of lips on it. And it was like a cool looking costume, a fake gold tooth. But it was like you couldn't identify who that person was. It's like, okay, yeah, you're a pimp. Big deal. And I was like, you gotta be a part of like, the Ricky Williams. People are like, oh man, that's the star. Good Ricky Williams. Ha ha ha. The Yarrow's Rock. Shit,
Speaking of Fresh Vic, too, he didn't have a good weekend this last weekend.
Yeah, he's starting this weekend with Kevin Cobb with a concussion. 0-1, and I don't know how the prospects are for this team, Fullback is already playing out of
the damn middle. They would have had a better chance if he could learn how to run up the middle. But he just...
Very, very true. Well, he wanted to run to the outside, but unfortunately somebody whipped on the block, and he would have run, straight in for a 3-yard loss, so he just went for a no gain instead.
I don't think he's ever heard of a quarterback sneak. I mean, they had like 1 yard to go, and they couldn't get it because he ran into his own dude.
If you just not go under center and just try to put it. I mean, I guess he wanted to use from the shotgun so he could pick out which way he was going to run. And the way he was going to run, there was somebody there, so he just ran right into the pile and hoped the pile moved, and the only thing that moved was him.
Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Yeah, we're 0-1.
Rub it in the Patriots won.
Well, we're playing the Detroit this weekend. Stafford's out, so there's a chance. I don't know how good it is, but it's a chance.
Yeah, I don't know. That's what's the concussion? What's the time frame on the recovery from that?
It could be maybe October 3rd because they figure they got the game against Detroit, they got a game against Jacksonville. And then October 3rd is a big game against Washington, which is going to be now the first game back in Philly after being traded.
Mm-hmm.
I don't beat Washington. I don't think beating too many people this year, honestly. Before the season, I was like, I'd like to see him get like 10-6, make it to the playoffs. Anything less would be a disappointment, but just the way they're playing, they just look so out of sync. Their offensive line is terrible. They lost their fullback. They've already lost their starting center. They're both gone for the season. And their offensive line's already bad enough as it is.
Mm-hmm.
You lost your centerpiece, you're fucked.
Well, the best thing about watching the Patriots game the other day was the fact that Terrell Owens and Ocho Cinco didn't blow any doors off of anybody.
Yeah.
They made some good catches, here and there, but I don't know if I think T.O. was a little bit P.O.'d. That's when he realized that he just couldn't compete with this team. And it almost seemed like T.O. was thinking, man, maybe I didn't go on the right team here.
Right.
But the Patriots can just do that to you. I mean, usually they just kind of pride themselves on being able to beat any team by just a field goal if they have to. But every now and then they go up against a team where they can just blow out of the water. And their defense is just looking so good this year. They got so many new people that are fitting in. They got Wes Welker back. So it's going to be a Super Bowl year, I think. It's going to be tough to beat them. Yeah. I didn't get a chance to do the fantasy football this year, though. I figured I got way too much other crap going on. And
I mean, I have my one friend, a hell of a nice guy, but he takes too much stock in the fantasy sports, which they're enjoyable, they're fun and everything,
Now, when football season is, I run a weekly pool. I don't know if you ever heard me talk about it. This year is a down year for my pool. I only have 47 people.
That's
my
lucky number.
Yeah, okay. Well, I mean, I'm paying out $188 a week, which is not bad. And last year I had 55, and I was paying out $220 a week. But, you know, with my old company shutting down, a lot of people who were in it before and decided not to be in it because they were, like, leaving their jobs. Other people were like, I'm like, you know what, if you give me that, I'm not sure, then you're out. So I'm like, I'd rather have 47 good ones and 10 more, you know, half shitty ones. So I run this pool, and these other guys, we're in a fantasy baseball league together. If I'm on this show, and I tell people, don't call me or don't text me, we're on station 8 to 10, you know, I'm doing so. I really want to, you know, concentrate on interviews and have some fun and talk to, you know, people and talk fighting and all that. The guy would text me and be like, hey, you know, would you be interested in trading, say, you know, let's say, best player for, like, the Red Sox, you know. Hey, man, you want to give up, Ted Nucleus, and then I'll give you, and then you pick, like, the catcher for, like, the Pittsburgh Pirates, and, like, second string, second baseman for, like, the Toronto Blue Jays. I'm like, no, I'm not interested in making that trade. Okay, how about if I throw in the closer for the Washington Nationals? I'm like, oh, I mean, a team that has, like, you know, a 300 win percentage? I'm going to throw the closer at a 7.25 ERA. Yeah, that's really going to make me really want to take these trades. And he just offered trades, it was like $100 and all of that last year. I was working so much, I'm like, dude, I just basically threw $100 away, and I was pissed off about it. And then these people were bugging me about trades, they didn't have time to, you know, even look at it. I was at a Phillies game one day, he sent me like 8 trade offers. I'm like, dude, I can't access the website from my phone, nor do I want to. I'm at a game, I want to watch the baseball game. And I'm asking, mommy, don't you have like a 1-year-old child? Don't you have a wife that's going through some health problems right now? We shouldn't even be taking care of them instead of sitting down there and obsessing with fantasy baseball. Football league, man. If you're going to be in it, right? I'm like, yeah. Why not, man? I said, because first of all, I don't have the time to justify putting in this league to drop $100. My master league that pays out $4,000. I got to put my focus in that. You know, running this league to the best of my ability, not the fact that I got to work my ass off at my job.
You better hope the IRS isn't listening.
I don't care if they are or not. No, it's for entertainment only.
Oh, all right.
you know, I ended up joining like a league this year with like $20 entrance. I set my draft. I put some guys on the no draft list. I must have not saved it. They totally ignored it. So I got T.O. and I got Ben Roethlisberger. I'm like, my team's already fucked. I'm done. I got $20. I can smoke a cigar with that. Threw that away.
All right. Well, till next week. I think we're going to sign off for a little early here. We're running out of combat sports to discuss. It's a slow week. Thank God, because I got a lot of the crap to do than run the website. So. It's been kind of light lately, but, you know, we're gonna get a lot of things taken care of over the next few weeks. I still got to get settled up here in New Hampshire, live free or die.
That's right.
My second week living up here, so I'm trying to do that. We got a virtually free wood stove 2 days ago from my Craigslist abilities. we're rip-roaring and getting ready for winter already, and... who knows? Maybe I'll do a show from the lake this winter.
Well,
on a laptop on the top of the frozen lake, ice fishing. Maybe I'll catch a fish during the show. I have a famous video on YouTube. Not quite famous, but it's how to kill a Lake Winnipesaukee cusk. And I put it on the leader, and this fish looks like the half eel, half catfish. The only fish I can really catch regularly on the lake, especially through the ice. It's really the only time you can catch them. So I put on the leader, and I whip it around a couple times, and then I just smash them onto the ice. And then you hold it up, and literally within seconds, the tail just curls right up, and he's dead. So it's a very nice, efficient way to kill your fish, get ready to cook it. And I do cook a lot of my fish. Got to live off the land, live free or die. But other than that, obviously we're going to talk about the big boxing cards next week. We'll have another Ultimate Fighter show to talk about. And I know that there's obviously going to be another big UFC event coming up. I don't have the schedule right in front of me. But you got any parting words there, Mr. Tornado?
No, no parting words. Everybody have a good weekend. If you're being like Philadelphia, people are listening, watch the Phillies game tomorrow night. I'm going to try to get myself on TV. I'm embarrassed to mention young lady that I'm with.
Bring a big sign or something. Maybe you'd be on ESPN.
Oh, there. Here's what I'm doing. This girl's been bugging me. You know, we went to the game together a few weeks ago, me, her, a couple of her friends, a friend of mine. And the way we were sitting, it was like, you know, one friend was sitting in the end, then me, then my girl that I know, one of her friends, guy friends, and then it was her and her friend, and another, and then the girl's brother. And then they get on to me, like, tell me to get us on TV. I'm like, well, shouldn't I be, if you two girls want to get on TV and you want me to get you on TV, shouldn't I be sitting between you? You know, that way my antics will attract attention to all three of us.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't get on TV. So they're going to the game tomorrow night now. It's my birthday weekend, yet I'm the one buying the tickets. It's made no sense to me, but that's fine. I got the tickets.
My 21st birthday, I got my wallet cleaned out. I puked on my shoes, and I had to get another ride home because my friend stole all the money out of my wallet.
Great. Well, listen,
guys.
I told this kid, I said, listen, I said, I know your birthday's in a few weeks. I said, I'll buy you a ticket for you. You would do that for me? I said, absolutely. I said, okay. So that's me throwing you one. Okay. Just, you know, getting everything around and ready to go. Okay, so fine, we'll go on the gate. So I'm like, what did you want me to get on TV? Yeah, I want to be on TV. I said, okay, here's what we're going to do. Now, first of all, my one college buddy, again, he's real quiet, real shy. He does nothing exciting. He will never get you on TV. Another buddy of mine from college has come down from Central PA. Me and him together acting up, yeah, we can get on TV. So I told this guy, I said, listen, you sit between us. You wear a stupid hat like I wear, that will most likely get us on TV. But if you really, really want to put the icing on the cake, he keeps saying, I want to make a sign, I want to make a sign. I said, okay, here's an idea for a sign for you. And this is me being the slick old bastard that I am.
Mm-hmm.
Put a sign. We're using the Phillies P. So anything with the letter F is going to be spelled PH, just like the Phillies. Phillies game for a first date.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll get us on TV.
I got to tell this story now. This was back in my freshman year at the Air Force Academy. And we used to have to go to all the big football games. You know, it's mandatory. I had to be there. So one year, well, the only year I was there, one year. It's kind of funny when I look back on it. But we decided, actually, I was the one that came up with the idea on this banner. We had to do a banner for a contest or something for the big Notre Dame game. And so I said, all right, well, how are we going to get the big contest winner? We got to do something unique. You know, we got to have this thing be, like, interactive. So I came up with the idea to have everybody set up a banner with a toilet seat attached to it.
Nice.
And have a leprechaun painted guy with his head in the toilet, sticking out of the toilet. He'll sit there during the whole game and watch it from the sidelines, you know, and it'll say, flush the Irish. So we did it. We put the whole banner together. And, of course, we lost the game. So where does that banner and the picture of it end up? Fucking headline news.
Nice.
It was on TV, and I got so much shit for it because we lost the game. And he's like, oh, great. You know, yeah, you got a great banner, but, you know, makes us look like assholes. But I was very successful. You know, it was a good idea. I'll never forget, too. They were like, oh, yeah, we got the toilet seat. Brought it back from Home Depot. They had a whole toilet seat rig, and the hardest thing is to figure out, you know, how are we going to, where are we going to position this? How are we going to keep it so that, you know, it works out? But it looked great. And he painted himself more camouflage than straight leprechaun green, but they ended up using it against us because they didn't even show the part that said flush the Irish. They just showed the guy with the camouflage in the toilet.
Nice.
We accomplished our mission. I don't know if we won the contest, but that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. So until next week when we're going to do a whole Rocky Marciano show, maybe I'll do a surprise guest. I know we never had Richie Capiello on, who's a local boxing promoter who has personal family connections to Rocky. And his father is Abduna Capiello, who used to hang out with Rocky all the time. I think they're like third cousins or second cousins or something as well. So we will work on that.
That sounds good to me.
All righty.
The Marciano Tribute Show, I'm looking forward to it.
Nice.
All right. Well, until next week, folks, this is your boy, the Tornado, and I'm out.
Later.